Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
B. Mitch and Finley back on 106.7 The Fan. Busy, busy day. A lot of quarterback talk. Time to talk a little bit of golf, though, with our good friend, Mr. Steve Sands.
He may want to talk golf. He's
going to want to talk football. I'm curious if he's heard what John McClain just said on the program. Sands, how are you, man?
What, the Alex Smith to the Bears?
No. Earlier than that, do you know John McClain? He's covered Houston football forever.
Yeah,
he covered the Oilers and now the Texans. He says at least five teams have called about Deshaun Watson.
Not Washington.
But the Washington football team is not one of them.
Yeah, I'm not sure we have enough horsepower with all the draft picks and players to be able to get somebody like Deshaun.
So everybody knows Steve Sands as Golf Channel, face of the franchise over there, but not everybody understands he is a massive Washington sports fan. Caps, Washington football team, Terps.
Sadly, this summer, JP had to get inundated with my ridiculousness for the love of the Washington football team.
Well, I know about
that. Get all the insight and see
what's
going on.
I've been dealing with it for years. hey, if anybody shows his pride and his passion for his the hometown team, Steve Sands is one of those guys. Because, listen, I think he exceeds me sometimes.
You know what, though, Brian? I mean, like when you – like I used to do the NFL and the NBA and hockey and horse racing and tennis and baseball – but now that I'm doing golf and the Olympics for NBC and Golf Channel, I don't get that football fix, although I do get to watch it more often as a fan. So that leaves me a lot of time to text experts like you guys all my anger when something doesn't go well.
You know what? I think it's great, and it's that's how we're here, right? I mean, that's what makes it so much fun to watch and pay attention to. What do you want to happen at quarterback for the Washington football team? What is your pipe dream, Steve?
Well, I would love for them to slide up just a touch in the draft if any of those quarterbacks who they think is going to be a franchise quarterback the next 10, 12, 15 years, and just slide up a little bit from 19 to get one of those guys if they believe in that guy. If they don't think that one of those guys is the guy or will fall down to the teens, somewhere in the mid-teens, or all the way down to 19 in a dream scenario, then go ahead and get somebody who can get him through the next season or two, especially next season, because the team's good enough to do well, clearly, from what we saw last year. If they have good quarterback play, the defense is obviously stronger. There are some weapons. The line's getting better offensively, especially the defense line, of course. But if they had a quarterback who could pull the trigger, I think that's a pretty good combination for another really strong season before you actually get the guy. But you've got to get somebody. It's been proven already in the NFL for years. If you don't have a quarterback, an elite quarterback, you're not going anywhere. And we do not have one of those yet.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. And I think one thing, Steve, the way that you are about sports, it proves to a lot of people out there that like to dismiss people in our positions, guys that do media. Like, oh, y'all guys just media, you're not fans. That's a bunch of BS.
Come on, man.
we're probably bigger fans than those because we know a lot more than a lot of fans know.
Yeah, well, I don't know anything, but I just love sports. Look, I've said this for years. My kids laugh at me. To me, it's family and sports, or maybe even sports and family, depending on what's going on in that particular day. But you know, when you're born and raised in 31st Street, Northwest D.C., and you grew up Skins, Caps, Bullets. We were Orioles people, but it really wasn't that big of a deal because it wasn't in D.C. It's just kind of the regional team. But then when the Nats came along, even as an adult, the Nats are my squad, and I watch them as often as I can, certainly when they get rolling. And then the Terps, you know, so those five are in my blood, man. If you lose your passion for your sports teams just because you go into a certain profession, well, we don't want you anyway. So you're either a fan or you're not. Listen, I had a very good friend of mine who I went to high school with yesterday text me saying, oh, we got J.J. Watt. We got J.J. Watt. I'm looking like, we got J.J. Watt. So what are you talking about? We got J.J. Watt. I go, J.J. Watt signed with Arizona. He goes, I know. He goes, I've lived out here for 30 years. I'm a Cardinals fan. I go. Our friendship is over. The skins are in your blood. You live in Arizona. Look, I've lived in Florida for 24 years. You may be a Bucks fan. Well, you had your mind. Come on, man. You are who you are and how you were raised, and it's in your blood. And those five teams are in my blood, and it will always be.
Absolutely. We're talking with Golf Channel's Steve Sands here on the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Steve, let's transition to the sport you cover every day, golf. It's been a good run for some young guys, Max Homa, Colin Morikawa, and now you've got the Florida Swing coming. It's amazing how many really, really good golfers there are out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, look at the leaderboard last week. It was a World Golf Championship event. It was played down in Bradenton at the Concession Golf Club. 47 of the top 50 in the official World Golf ranking were in the field this past week. It was the best field by far that the PGA Tour has had all season. And that includes a U.S. Open at Wingfoot. That includes the Masters. So it was a great week. And look at that leaderboard. Colin Morikawa, 24 years of age. Only two guys in the history of the sport have won a World Golf Championship and a major before turning 25, Colin and Tiger Woods. Sure. Then in second, Victor Hovland, another tremendous young player, also a great kid, just like Colin Morikawa. Brooks Koepka's getting his game back. So many young players are in the sport right now, are performing at a high level, and that's what you need to have. If you're going to have this changing of the guard over the last 3 or 4 years, the Tiger-Phil guard, to these new young guys. These new young guys have got to win, and they are winning. So golf's in a great place right now, JP.
When you look at Colin, what is it about his game, Steve, that makes him so good? Because he didn't seem – he'll stumble a little bit, but then he'll take one step back and 15 steps forward. That's the way he played his game.
Yeah, he walked a little bit, but that's the sport. Yeah. Right? You know, I mean, you can't – I know Joe Gibbs used to say all the time that you can't fumble for me. But if you do fumble, it's not as if you don't get right back in there, or at least want to get right back in there. In your case, in football's case, you have coaches telling you that you're coming out for a couple of plays. In golf, you got to keep going.
Yeah.
So you get a bogey, you get a double bogey, you hit a bad tee shot, you get yourself in trouble, you got to pick yourself up. You know, you don't take timeouts in golf. You don't have the ability to just go over to your coach and talk to him in the middle of a round. So Colin has an amazingly strong mindset, Brian. For such a young man at 24 years of age. And the other thing about Colin that's so impressive to me is he's a California kid born and raised and went to Cal, Brian, but his game travels. His game travels. He's won now in four states, okay? In 41 starts, he has four PGA Tour wins, and they're in four different places. So the reason that's important is as this sport travels around the country and the globe, you're going to have different grasses, different conditions, different winds, different weather, different humidity, dry, desert, Kikuyu, Bermuda, you name it. And if your game travels in different places, you are going to have a lot of success if you're an elite player like Colin. And right now, he is as good as anybody out there.
Steve, we got to ask before we maybe talk about Augusta and the players coming up, Tiger, I mean, the whole sports world stopped in their tracks when the news came out about Tiger. It seems like he's improving. I thought his tweet over the weekend, seeing all the players wearing red and black on Sunday, it's such a special moment. Have you touched base with him? And any update there? Is he doing okay?
He's improving. He's certainly not out of the woods by any means. And I know for the Washington audience, the DMV audience, it seems like these injuries are analogous to Alex Smith. But the last thing, and you guys know this, I don't need to tell you this, the last thing any of us need to do is speculate. So what I've been told is that his spirits are high. He was definitely watching over the weekend, which is obviously a good sign that he's able to be alert enough to sit and watch from the hospital. He was stable enough to move from one hospital to the other. So he is now currently at Cedars-Sinai in Southern California. He did not begin this process after the accident at that hospital. So to move from one hospital to the other has to mean that you're in stable enough condition to be able to be moved from one place to another. So that's a good thing. And we'll just have to wait and see how it all plays out as far as how severe the injuries are. I know he had multiple fractures to his tibia and fibula, you know, in his shin area. And then the ankle was also really, really damaged as well. And there's some pins in there after multiple procedures already in just a week. So everybody in the golf world, sports world, had Tiger on their minds, especially at golf over the weekend, which was pretty cool to see.
And I think for me, just watching him playing with his son in the father-son deal, and then looking at that tweet, you know, it shows that sentimental side where, you know, maybe he's changed it. One, when he was younger, that wasn't what he was. But now as he gets older and deal with things, you can see that he really pays attention to what's around him. And you watch how the outpouring of all the people has he and Phil. You know, I listened to Phil, and that impressed me that those two guys, in a sense, have been able to bury the hatchet and still move forward and do things together in this game. So, good thing.
I'm glad you brought Phil up, Brian, because one of the things that's fascinating about Tiger is – you know, look, if you handed me $100 million when I was 20 years of age, I probably would make some big mistakes too. So you got to let these guys grow up. You know, you got to let these guys mature a little bit as grown men as opposed to just professional athletes. So when Tiger first came out, it was Mickelson, Vijay, Els, David Duval. You know, those guys were his peers. He iced them all the time. He never let them in. They never got a chance to get to know him. Well, as he's gotten older and gone through all the things he's gone through on and off the golf course, now that he's in his mid-40s, guys, you know, the young players today, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, mm-hmm. Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, these guys have gotten to know him, not just as the icon or the inspiration who put them on the path to being a golfer as opposed to something else in life, but they've gotten to know him as a person, and he has allowed that. It can't be the other way. It's got to be, you know, you don't get to know Tom Brady if he doesn't let you get to know him. So Tiger's in that stratosphere, and it's nice to see that his peers, who also idolized him as a kid, have gotten to know him well enough and are comfortable enough to give a tribute like they did on Sunday wearing the red and black and be able to do things like that. I think it's a real cool maturation process to see Tiger kind of open up his world just a touch in the last few years that he did not do in his first 10 or 12 years on tour.
Totally, totally. So, Steve, in our group text, Monty and Joe P haven't mentioned lately, but I'm all the way up into third in our big golf pool. And I had Homa and Hovland in consecutive weeks. So I'm wondering if you have any ideas. You got Arnold Palmer this weekend and then the Players next weekend. Some big tournaments coming up. Who's hot? Who's ready for Florida swing?
Make sure you know what your cut's going to be before you give them any information, Steve.
Brian, let me tell you something. JP, first of all, JP, keep your poise, kid. Listen. This is like the Skins having a 14-0 lead against the Seahawks before Robert got hurt in the playoffs. The first quarter, man. Relax, JP. Take your foot off the gas.
Fair enough. All right? Fair enough.
Joe P and Monty know what they're talking about, believe me. You know, who do I like this week? There's a lot of guys who I think will play well this week. I think they're going to benefit from being here this week at Bay Hill by being in Florida last week. Remember I talked about Colin Morikawa and his game traveling.
Yeah.
It takes time to get used to the Florida grasses and conditions versus the California swing and out west where the PGA Tour's been for the better part of 5 or 6 weeks. So, you know, look, last year was Tyrrell Hatton, who's an Englishman, but he lives here in Orlando. So I think that he had a big advantage. I think Terrell will play well again this week. Jordan Spieth's in the field. I think Jordan will play well this week. I'm not sure he's got the 72 holes in him quite yet.
He got 54 in him.
Think he's got 54.
Oh, yeah, 54.
But, you know, we've had a lot of three-quarter leads. You know, you got to finish, man. You got to be able to finish. So, I don't know. I McIlroy didn't show a lot last week, but he's won here before. I'm a big fan, JP, of horses for courses.
Sure.
But if you think in the world that I am ever on radio or on a text chain going to give someone who's in the same pool as me a pick, you're out of your mind.
So they can walk up to you. Hey, Steve, I heard you say so-and-so's going to win.
I don't recall Joe Gibbs calling Bill Parcells before a championship game and saying, hey, Bill, here's what we're thinking about running. Right? No chance, man.
Well, Steve, the Masters is going to be played in April, April 1st coming up. Well, that week is going to start off a little bit over a month now. And last year it moved. It was totally different for everybody. How important is it going to be to get it back to that spot where it's always been?
Oh, man. It's a sign of normalcy, Brian. You know, we're starting to see a little bit of fans, not only on the PGA Tour, it's starting this week with Bay Hill, but in other sports, they're starting to have some fans come back. Not a lot of fans, but a little bit. Like my dad and my older brother went to the Nats Cardinals game on Sunday, the first spring training game, and they were like, wow, it was like being at a JV baseball game in high school. There were so few people there, but 25% is better than zero.
There you go.
And I think that Augusta coming back, Brian, is a sign not just for golf, but Augusta is a worldwide sporting event. And for it to be back in the date it belongs with some fans on site, I think that's a sign that we're trying in a sports sense to get out of this as best we can. And I think it's going to be great. The NCAA tournament's going to be fantastic to watch because we all missed it last year. But without fans there, it's not going to be quite the same. I think that the Masters will be just after the Final Four with some fans there will look more normal in quotations than say the Final Four or the preceding couple of weeks at the NCAA tournament. It's going to be a blast, Brian. I can't wait to be there.
Well, and just seeing Augusta with the azaleas blooming and what, yeah. I mean, I think for most of the country, Augusta, the Masters tournament has come to signify kind of the beginning of spring and approaching yeah. kind of the next season. And I think if there's ever a year the country can use that, it's now. It's after everything we've endured the last 12 months.
Yeah, totally agree. There's just something about that event. You know, there are certain events. You don't have to be a golf fan to watch the Masters. You know, not all of us are horse racing fans, but we all watch the Derby. You know, it's there's just certain events in this country, sporting events, that bring everybody to the TV screen. And I think that the Masters is one of them. And I think you both are right. I think it's just going to be some kind of semblance of normalcy to see it the second weekend of April, the week after the Final Four, around Easter, and those azaleas blooming, the country's coming out of a deep freeze from winter. We've had this COVID thing for almost a year now. It'll be beyond a year when we're at Augusta. So I think it's going to be a good sense of somewhat normalcy as far as sports goes.
Absolutely. Steve, we really appreciate it. Maybe we can set up a remote radio show on the deck of the Starboard when you take your break this summer. How does that sound?
Yeah, I don't think being hammered on the air is good for our careers, JP.
It won't be a poker tournament this weekend.
One more time.
What's that, Brian?
I say, tell him that one more time.
I just, you know, I love Monty, and I love you, JP, and I love the Starboard, but I don't think that combination would be very good for our careers. We got to get our kids through college here, pal. Let's hang on for just
right.
a few more years before we start teeing it up at Starboard and being on the air.
That's a good idea. I got a 2-year-old. I got a lot of time to go.
Yeah, very much.
Yes, you do. You're just getting warmed up, bud.
Thank you, Steve. We really appreciate your time.
All right,
man.
Steve. Thank you, buddy.
Anytime, fellas. Be good.
All right, thank man. You. That was the tremendous Steve Sands from Golf Channel. That was a lot of fun. When we come back, it's time to play a little bit of audio that I'm not sure everybody has heard or seen yet about a rookie quarterback maybe Washington's going to be interested in. 106.7 The Fan. B. Mitch and Finley back on 106.7 The Fan. A lot going on out there. A lot going on in the world, Landfill. Both you guys are dancing. Look at this.
Yeah, this is incredible.
I wouldn't have expected that.
Hey, man, this comes on without having anything in your system you want to move.
What's the right drink for this song?
Anything you have in you.
It's not quite vodka Red Bull. It might be like a.
This is a shot song.
This might be a shot song. Like, we're getting a round of shots to this song. And then hitting the dance floor, and then I will look like an idiot.
Oh, if I hear my daughter that's in college hearing this song, that's what I think.
Shots.
You got to deal with that on your own. Don't worry me about what's going to happen in my life in 15
years.
Oh,
don't worry. I cannot wait.
All right, lot to discuss here. Great conversation with Steve Sands. Going to switch gears back to the football team because we found some pretty interesting audio. Mel Kiper did a conference call. ESPN, Mel Kiper, obviously draft analyst, has been doing it forever.
Ever.
Really interesting nugget. As we all talk about Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott and Russ Wilson and Derek Carr and Sam Darnold, what about the draft? And can they get somebody at 19? I'm not sure they can. Especially some of the way people are talking about Mac Jones going top 10. I mean, the Mac Jones hype train is out of control right now. What about Kyle Trask, University of Florida? Let's hear it, Lampo.
I'm thinking we're second round for Kyle Trask. I think Washington would be another team. What Chicago does in terms of going after a veteran, do they want to go also get a rookie maybe in the second, third round area? I don't know. But I would say more Pittsburgh and more Washington, I think, would be possibilities for Kyle Trask when you get into that second round mix. And depending upon which of the teams that I've always talked about in the first round taking a quarterback, those that don't could look at him. So I would say second round for Trask, not late first, like some have suggested over the last couple months.
Second round for Kyle Trask. That is pretty interesting, B.
Yeah, I think early on, Kyle Trask was the guy who we all thought was going to be that first round pick, but I think it leveled out some. It could be. And I think when you start looking at the people that could fall down at late first, early second, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, that can be, and the thing, guys that fall there are normally guys that they go to, normally they don't go to the worst teams. Think about that.
Well, and I think Kyle Trask got kind of a bad, listen, the bowl game performance against Oklahoma was terrible. He had three picks, 16 to 28,
yeah,
158.
You're playing the best teams, and when you play bad, then teams start to take notice.
But a bunch of Gators players had opted out for that game, a bunch.
Yeah.
So then you got to wonder, well, when he was playing with all these stud Gators players, is that on him or is that the players? I mean, this kid, Kyle Pitts, could be the first ever tight end to go top five.
Did he try to do too much in the bowl game?
Right.
But that could be simply that.
I also think it'd be a little silly to only look at one game when his body of work last season in the SEC. Now, I know SEC defenses aren't now what they were because it's become – up-tempo spread offenses, just like all of college football. Yeah. But still, this is the SEC we're talking about.
But let's remember, a guy plays 4 years of college football, 3 years of college football, then he goes to the draft, to the combine. They look at that one day.
Right.
So it's and I think I would rather them look at a football game than a damn 40 time.
Here's the season numbers. 69% of his passes, 4,200 passing yards, and that's in just 12 games. 43 touchdowns to 8 picks. 180.0 rating.
Yeah. He'll get drafted.
He's definitely going to get drafted.
Thing of it, listen, somebody may say late first. You know, they may not wait till the second. Because I think a lot of times people look at those level of guys and say, you know what? Why not get him on the roster? Because we're in a position right now because we weren't doing it. A lot of teams in this league seem to draft the guy that they feel – What if something happened? Can he become that guy?
And I tell you what, B. They lost the game, but a SEC title game against Alabama, Trask completed 65% of his passes for 408 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's delivering against the best team in college football.
Yeah. So, listen, Mel may be wrong. He may go first. We don't know.
Well, and there's some thought, especially with quarterbacks, that you like to try to sneak them late in the first round. You saw the Ravens move up to get Lamar Jackson this way because then you get the fifth-year option.
You get the fifth-year option, and it takes the pressure off of him in a sense. When you draft a guy in the top 10, there's a level of pressure that's coming that everybody's not ready for.
So let's open up the phone lines. What do you think of Kyle Trask, the Florida Gators quarterback? In the second round, B, I'm particularly intrigued. I don't think you can take him at 19. I think there'll just be too much talent at other positions. Maybe you get your left tackle of the future. You get a stud corner. You get a stud wideout.
But I ask you this question, Mr. Finley.
Sure.
Kyle Trask, you talk about how he performed against Alabama, the things he did throughout the year. If he is the guy that played in the 12 games and not the one game, he might be as good as anybody else in this draft. So if you get him at 19, that would be a steal in a sense. And I think that's the ultimate thing where we're looking for a quarterback, okay? And if you get the quarterback at 19, and this guy can end up being the guy he was for most of the year, well, 99% of his college football senior year or whatever, wouldn't that make sense?
Georgia Bulldogs put a lot of players in the pros, don't they, B?
Yeah.
Kyle Trask against Georgia, 70% of his passes, 474 yards, 4 TDs, and a pick.
But that's the thing. See, this is the thing I don't like about college sports. Well, the draft, per se. Every year we get a lot of people talking about certain guys. And I think a lot of times you have to also wonder this. Do they have any connection with the guys? Because a lot of times the people speaking on TV have a lot of connection with some of the guys at certain positions or their handlers. So sure. Kyle Trask. Is Kyle Trask as good as the rest, or he just is he that much worse than those guys that we're considering top 10? Once you look at the numbers, you say no. So what is it that he doesn't have that they may have?
Well, I mean, the Florida offense was loaded. So that's one factor, right? I mean.
Ohio State was loaded.
Sure.
BYU is always loaded because they got grown men playing against college students.
Yeah, but BYU, I always think BYU
is loaded because if you got somebody playing at 25 against 17, 18, 19, that's a different ball game for me.
I mean, when BYU opened the season against Navy, I felt bad for Navy. And I never say that, but you could tell you had these BYU dudes who were 26 and
26,
hadn't played
yeah.
against Navy guys. And a lot of the Navy football team can't get but a certain size because they can't get in the – airplanes or whatever it is. That was a remarkable, but I don't think you're arguing that Florida had more skill position talent than BYU.
No, I'm not arguing that, but I'm saying most of the other guys who we consider top-notch players, quarterbacks, they had exceptional talent around them.
So I'm asking you first, and then we're going to the phones. 800-636-1067 is a phone number. Let's say they're able to get Kyle Trask in the second.
Mm-hmm.
You happy with that?
I'll be.
And then you go into August, Heinicke, Kyle Allen, Kyle Trask.
Yeah. Because you have confidence in Allen. Everybody's intrigued by Heinicke. And this guy here could easily be a first-round pick. You got him in the second. Why would you not be happy with that? Because I think ultimately now you begin to build around him. And if you build the talent properly, if any of these three guys you just named have any sense or any sort of talent, they should be able to play above what they are based off of what they put around them.
That's the question for the phone lines, 800-636-1067. Mel Kiper, draft guru, says Washington likes Kyle Trask and that he could make sense in the second round. Are you comfortable with that as your new quarterback of the future? Hit us up, 800-636-1067. The AAA Always On Call listener line wide open until 1 o'clock. Hit us up right now, 106.7 The Fan.
JP, when something comes in like this, you get, let it feel it, man. Just
I'm in.
Let your body go.
I'm enjoying watching you two.
Yeah, man, I'm just saying.
If we were on the dance floor, there might be real friction between you two.
Nah, we're not
real
gonna be
tension.
On no, nah.
I don't know, man.
See, if you
I can pick up on the vibe.
Landfill and I like to dance in our seat. That means we sit at the bar and we watch all of y'all getting dancing and acting a fool, getting all sweaty.
Yeah, I'm
and
not going to actually get up and dance.
Tell you, we still at the bar, fresh and so clean, and we know how to just make that move.
See, Landfill's just drinking rum out of the bottle at the bar.
Exactly.
right, phone lines are packed. Landfill, can you play the Kuiper audio one more time just so everybody understands what we're discussing? This is from ESPN Draft Guru. I don't know his official title, but I'm calling him Draft Guru, Mel Kuiper.
I'm thinking we're second round for Kyle Trask. I think Washington would be another team. Whether what Chicago does in terms of going after a veteran, do they want to go also get a rookie maybe in the second, third round area? I don't know. But I would say more Pittsburgh and more Washington, I think, would be possibilities for Kyle Trask when you get into that second round mix. And depending upon which of the teams I've always talked about in the first round taking a quarterback, those that don't could look at him. So I would say second round for Trask, not late first, like some have suggested over the last couple months.
Second round, Kyle Trask, phones are open. 800-636-1067. What do you think? Let's go to Sean in Texas to get things kicked off. Sean, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Pleasure to talk to you guys. So I want to preface this with I'm a huge Gator fan and a huge Washington fan. So I figured the first time I call in, it's my two worlds are colliding here. I've watched every Trask throw going back to when he was a backup behind Philippe Franks and contending in the spring game. So things that I like about Trask, and let me also say, I'm not a fan of taking him in the first. I think the earliest you take him is the second, and I'm not sure if I would even do that. Here's why. He's aggressive, which is good. He's got the big size, and he's smart. But I think he's hit his ceiling from an athletic standpoint. And aggressive, I said that's a good thing, which I like. But, I mean, like, JP, you mentioned the Georgia game. He had all those numbers, and he had that one pick. It's a pick six. He had several pick six because of that aggressive mentality. And then also, yeah, he had a lot of skill players around him. And being coached by Dan Mullen in the Georgia game specifically, utilizing the running backs on linebacker matchups. So he's a smart guy. He's accurate. But he's hit his ceiling. And, I mean, you also think with Washington, the offense likes to have mobile quarterbacks. Trask is the opposite of that. So I don't know how it's a good fit. But, again, I'm not a Trask hater at all. I love the guy. He's a great Gator. I'm just not a big fan of him in the second round of Washington. And real quick, if I could throw a name out there that I would love for Washington to take a gamble on in the fourth, fifth, sixth round.
Fire away.
His former Florida quarterback, Franks. He's huge.
He ended up at Arkansas?
Correct, yeah. And it's once he broke his ankle and Trask came in, and obviously he took Florida on a little run. So you might think it's crazy. Why do you say you like Franks when Trask sort of took him to the next level? Trask is at a ceiling. I don't think he's going to get any better. His arm's solid. Franks has got physical attributes in every part of his game. And when he went to Arkansas, worked on his leadership skills, and Arkansas was terrible. And I think their coach was the SEC Coach of the Year. He really uplifted him, so you could see he could kind of put a team on his back. And you'll get him in the fourth, fifth, sixth round probably. So I hate to knock Trask. I'm not trying to do that. I just think there's better, candidates out there that you can get a little bit later with much higher upside.
All right. Thank you for the call, Sean. I tell you what, that dude Philippe Franks is not on my list. I am not a fan of his.
No. I just say this. He said that, which call him is big, he's smart, and he's aggressive.
Sounds like somebody you'd
I was told I can calm a fool. I'd rather calm a fool than resurrect a corpse. I could calm him down from being too aggressive. If he's smart, I could teach him how to read the defense a little bit sooner, and he could let the ball go even better. I can make him better. I don't know how I can look at someone and say that they've already reached the athletic ceiling, unless we're trying to run a 100 meters.
Right.
I don't think he's trying that. But if he's smart and he threw 8 interceptions by being that aggressive, it's something about him that I could calm down and make him a better quarterback.
6'5", 240, and I don't think he's trying to become an Olympic gymnast.
No.
So let him just keep developing. A couple tweets on this that I found interesting. One from Rocky Pinnock says, I like Jamie Newman more than Trask. Jamie Newman's an interesting name, and we talked to Quincy Avery about him last week. This one's from Jason Holcomb, who said, my area of interest is focused on the SEC about college football. I watched Trask absolutely ball out this year. He had one bad game, and he dropped off in eyes of analysts. I've been singing his praises for a while now. Second round, hell yes. So, yeah. A lot going on out there.
It comes down to what you truly like.
Let's see what Montana in D.C. says. Montana, what's up?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it, gentlemen.
Of course, man. Dude. What do you think about Kyle Trask?
Hey, JP, real quick, man. I can't believe I'm about to turn 40, man. I'm a class 99 like you, man. I went to Wilson.
Man, y'all getting old, dude. DC,
man. I know, man. Class of 99. The
y'all getting old,
the
man.
Real world's coming for us, man.
I can't believe it, man. But, yeah, real quick, man, if I was a rookie, man, I wouldn't want to go to, you know, Washington. I don't think Washington has the offensive coaching experience, and I keep saying that. I think there's a reason why our defensive side of the unit is, you know, more down to the other side because of the coaching experience. You have Ron Rivera. You have Del Rio, former head coach, defensive coordinator. So I think, you know, before we talk quarterback, we really need to have a serious conversation whether the offensive coordinator, Scott Turner, you know, has the experience to help rookies, you know, succeed. And if Deshaun Watson wanted to come here, I wouldn't want to come to Washington also with the lack of experience in the offense. So thank you for taking my call.
All right, man.
Thank you for calling. Class of 99 from Wilson. We probably know some of the same people. The one thing I would say about any concern with Scott Turner, they also have Ken Zampezi as quarterback's coach. He's been in the NFL coaching since 1998. I mean, he's helped develop a ton of young quarterbacks. Carson Palmer, Andy Dalton. I wouldn't worry so much about that. Let's keep the phones going, though. My guy Jupe in Gaithersburg. Jupe, what's going on? Hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, you got me. You got me right. JP, B. Mitch, what's going on, fella?
What's up, man?
Hey, so I was calling about Deshaun Watson first, but y'all got my peak interest in this Trask guy. So with that being said, instead of giving the house a get watching, yeah, sit back, chill, try to get this Trask guy. I would go ahead and get him in the first round. Take that risk, because sometimes you got to pull that trigger. Sometimes you might hit gold, sometimes you might hit cold. So I would go ahead and get him. If you need somebody for him to sit behind, I would think about seeing what's up with Jacoby Brissett in Indianapolis and rock with them two guys and see what happens with that. A PSA, I need people to stop saying get Sam Darnold. I guess they forgot. My man said he's seen ghosts assist on the field. I don't think you want a quarterback that's seen ghosts on the field. I believe he deserves a second chance, but not here. Let somebody else deal with that project. But that's all I got.
Jupe, I can't agree more on the Darnold thing, and I'm going to start. Uh-huh. I'm going to start saying ghosts as well.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, buddy. Let's get to our guy, Darren, in North Carolina. Oh, Darren, we're tight against the break, but I hear you like Kyle Trask.
Very intrigued.
He's been liking Kyle Trask.
Yes, been intrigued by my man Trask. This is, man. I just watched some of his games, literally, and I tried to look at him. I was like, man, he wearing number 11, man, and I don't want to see him as number 11. So I try to look at him as a different quarterback, man. I like what he does, man. And let me just throw a bold prediction on this at y'all, man.
You like throwing these bold predictions.
2 days in a row, D.
2 days in a row, man. I'm on a heater like that watching a football talk pod, man. But anyway, man, they go 19 and they sit at 19. Draft Kadarius Toney. Second round, they draft Kyle Trask. And that Florida connection comes to D.C., and they cause a rift in the locker room with the SEC guys building competition, healthy competition, that is, within the SEC ranks in that locker room, and that offense just skyrockets. And another thing, man, our guy Cassidy, he has Justin Fields dropping past D.C., dropping past Washington. If Cassidy knows something, man, I don't know. But I'm going my bold prediction, Kadarius at 19, Kyle Trask in the second round, that Florida connection. Peace it up, baby. I love y'all, man. Appreciate y'all.
All right, man.
Thank you, Darren. We appreciate the call always. All right, here's what we got to do. We're going to open the phones back up here in a little while. But coming up at 1 o'clock, we have Ben Fisher, NFL reporter for the Sports Business Journal. I want to learn a little bit more about what the decreasing salary cap means for spending this offseason and what that means going forward for the Washington football team. We're going to do that next, 106.7 The Fan.